Monitor now invites you to Meet the Press, America's press conference of the air, winner of every major award in its field. Today's guest on Meet the Press will be Senator Thomas J. Dodd, Democrat of Connecticut, and a member of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. Senator Dodd has just returned from an extended trip to the Far East, including Vietnam. We'll bring you today's program in a moment.
Here is NBC Radio's Ray Shearer interviewing Congressman Barrett O'Hara of Chicago.
Congressman O'Hara, you are reported to be the oldest member of the House of Representatives. Where were you born and when?
I was born April 28, 1882, and I'm very proud that I am the oldest member of the House.
You meet all kinds of people on Sunday Night Monitor. This is Frank Blair suggesting you join us each Sunday night for news, information, and entertainment on NBC Radio.
What do your dollars do when you make a donation for mental health? They fight mental illness through service. Service to the mentally ill and their families. Your contribution helps your Mental Health Association conduct information and referral services that guide the patient to the kind of psychiatric treatment most beneficial to him. Your dollars organize volunteer services that bring the medicine of friendship to hospitalized mental patients. They support rehabilitation services that help the discharged patient find a job, a warm welcome, friends, a place to live. Further, your contribution supports programs of specialized mental health education for the police, lawyers, clergy, and others involved in helping mental patients back to full recovery. As a chapter of the National Association for Mental Health, your Mental Health Association asks for your dollars to fight mental illness, to help the mentally ill, and to speed the day when the scourge of mental illness can be conquered. And now, Meet the Press. Today's guest, Senator Thomas J. Dodd, Democrat of Connecticut, and a member of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. Our panel consists of Roland Evans of the New York Herald Tribune, Chalmers Roberts of the Washington Post, Robert Kuralski, NBC News, and Lawrence E. Spivak, producer of Meet the Press. Ned Brooks is our moderator.
Our guest today on Meet the Press is Senator Thomas J. Dodd, Democrat of Connecticut. Senator Dodd, a member of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, returned this week from an extensive tour to the Far East, including South Vietnam. We'll have the first question now from Lawrence E. Spivak, permanent member of the Meet the Press panel.
Senator Dodd, one of your releases from Singapore the other day said that you were convinced that the tide of battle has begun to turn in our fight in Vietnam. Now, the impression in many quarters here is just the opposite. You tell us what convinced you that the tide is turning?
Yes, because we're beginning to win. We're winning more battles every day. The latest figure I heard was with on an engagement very recently in the ratio of about 4-1. And as they suffered something in excess of 400 losses, our side something in excess of 100. The morale of the South Vietnamese is very high. There are more defectors coming over to our side every day. About a year ago, my information is we're getting about 10 a month. We're now getting over 100 a month. We've got 1,000 pilots, about 1,000 pilots now in the South Vietnamese Air Force. They're good pilots, I'm told, by our Air Force people. They're good fighters. As a matter of fact, I was told they do a better job at maintenance than our people do. So for all these reasons, I say we've begun to win.
Senator, when you say we've begun to win, do you actually mean that you expect us to have a military victory there or simply that we're going to drive North Vietnam to the negotiating table?
Yes, the latter. I believe we'll drive North Vietnam to the negotiating table.
Not to win.
That's what I think we ought to do.
Not to win a victory.
Well, that'll be a victory.
Well, how would that, Senator, how would that be a victory?
Well, it'll be a victory in the sense that they will have been defeated in their effort to wage aggressive warfare against South Vietnam. And if they go to the negotiating table, my understanding is that they'll stop their aggressive conduct in the waging of war.
Now, Senator, in February you said you believe the war in Vietnam could be won without a significant increase in our military effort. Now, after your visit to South Vietnam, do you still believe that?
Well, a significant increase is and not a very clear way of expressing oneself. I'm not a military man. I don't know what it may take. What I saw, I was convinced that we have increased to some extent. It may take more, I don't know, but I was thinking in terms of heavy commitment. I think we can do the job without that heavy commitment, as I call it.
Senator, there are some people who are beginning to wonder whether the communists stirred up trouble in the Dominican Republic to divide U.S. power at a time when we're beginning to increase our forces in South Vietnam. Do you see any connection between the two?
Yes, I do. I haven't any doubt about it. I'm very sure that there's a connection between the two. I'm informed, and I'm very sure my information is accurate, that there are about 58 known hardcore communist agitators, leaders, one of them in particular, Manuel Gonzalez, an old-time communist from Spain, is the military leader there. The communists are at it. They're trying to give us trouble there, and I think there's a relationship between the struggle in Southeast Asia and what has happened in the Dominican Republic, and I think we can expect more of this before there's an end to it.
Senator, from your knowledge of the situation as a member of the Foreign Relations Committee, do you think we can handle this flare-up in the Caribbean? I think we've already sent about 10,000 Marines. And will we be able to send more Marines into South Vietnam also?
I believe so. This, again, of course, I'm not trying to avoid you. This is a military question. I don't feel confident in this area. But I believe that we can do whatever is necessary to do, and that we will do it, and the President will do it.
One more question. Which area, in your judgment, involves our vital interests to a greater degree? The Caribbean or South Vietnam?
Well, the Caribbean is right off our shore, and I suppose we'd all feel that this is something we have to be first concerned about. But in this time of shrinking space and shrinking time, everything's pretty close to everything else. Vietnam isn't that far away place, as it's been described by many. But to answer your question directly, I think I'd have to say that our immediate and more urgent interest, I feel, would probably be right near us in this hemisphere.
We'll continue the questions now with Mr. Evans.
Senator Dodd, you just said you are very sure that there is a connection between the events in the Dominican Republic and the fighting in Vietnam. Would you document that a little bit? Do you mean there is a central command post somewhere, perhaps in Peiping, that is signaling an outbreak of trouble in the Caribbean at a specific time to embarrass President Johnson and the United States?
Yes, I do. I don't have any doubt about it. I think there's an outpost, as you put it. There may be more than one. I'm sure that the communist apparatus works worldwide, and it knows how to move and where it wants to move and when it wants to move. And I'm, my own mind, I'm satisfied that this situation in the Dominican Republic is tied right into our struggle in Southeast Asia.
Senator, would you say the thrust of this kind of a policy, if it exists, came from Moscow or from Peiping in China?
I don't know. It's hard to know. It could come from both places or either one.
Well, there's a major dispute, of course, between the two
communist
camps.
I know there is, but they operate together on many other things, as you know.
And you think they are operating together on this question in the Dominican
Republic? I think they could be, very well.
Do you know whether any of these 57 or 58 communists that you say you've been told are now operating in Santo Domingo are under the discipline and the direction of Moscow or Peiping?
I don't know. I don't know that detail, which discipline they're under. I'm satisfied they're under Communist Party discipline.
Do we know much about their backgrounds? Were they just sent in there, Senator, or have they been living in the Dominican Republic?
Well, the man to whom I referred, Manuel Gonzalez, has been living there, I think, rather regularly since the 40s. As to the others, I don't know.
Mr. Roberts.
Senator, you said in answer to an earlier question, you thought the correct aim of our policy in Vietnam was to drive the other side to the conference table. Who do you think the U.S. ought to confer with at that table?
I think that we ought to confer with the North Vietnamese.
What would you do about the problem of the National Liberation Front, which claims to speak for the Viet Cong politically in the South, and which all the communist governments, as you know, say must be represented at such a conference?
Well, I don't think they have any proper place at such a conference. The Liberation Front, as it's called, was set up by the instigation of, certainly, of the North Vietnamese communists. This is the operation, as we all know. You send in the infiltrators, the subversives, the terrorists, cause disorder and trouble, then recognize them as an insurrection, and demand that they be given a place at any discussion or negotiation to bring an end to the trouble.
Well, assuming that it would be possible to have a conference without the NLF, with Hanoi and the other communist governments, what is it you would like to see come out? What kind of an agreement? Just a new version of the 1954 agreement?
Well, I'd like to see
something different.
I'd like to see the fighting stopped. I'd like to see the North Vietnamese communists stop their aggressive waging of war against their neighbor, South Vietnam. I'd also like to see included an agreement they'd stop waging warfare, aggressive warfare in Laos, stop threatening Thailand, stop annoying all their neighbors in that area.
What would be the quid pro quo? What would our side have to give in exchange for such an agreement? If anything, in
I
your
don't
view.
Think we have to give anything. I don't know of anything that we should give. There may be areas where we could give and take something that I'm not familiar with because I don't know all the facts and I'm not a diplomat. But it seems to me that the original agreement was a perfectly good agreement, and all that's necessary is that it be lived up to by the communists who have been in violation of it almost from the time that it was written.
Can I ask you one further question? Would you favor a ceasefire before a conference was agreed on as a means of getting to the conference table, or would you, from the American side and South Vietnamese side, refuse any ceasefire until there's an agreement to have a conference?
Well, if I understand it correctly, if you mean a ceasefire only on our side, I say no. If we have a ceasefire on both sides, I say yes.
Mr. Kowalski.
Senator Dodd, the Marines at the Da Nang Air Force Base are taking increasingly offensive actions against the Viet Cong. Do you believe that our troops should drop their advisory status and get into actual combat on a regular basis?
Well, I think they are. I think you, in your own question, you suggested this. You said our people are taking increasingly aggressive action against the Viet Cong. I think this is a war. And it's a mean, ugly, bloody, terrible war. People are being killed in it every day. And I don't think there's much sense in pretending that it's anything else.
Well, sir, in your travels in the rest of Asia, did you find any apprehension among the Asians that this could turn out to be a war with the Asians on the one side and the Americans on the other side? Wouldn't this have a negative effect?
No, I didn't hear that. Everything I heard, without exception, was to the effect that we were on the right track, we were doing the right thing, and all the people with whom I talked, Asians, Americans, people of different countries, all supported our actions in Vietnam.
Would you go as far as the proposal recommended by the chief of the South Vietnamese Air Force, Air Commodore Nguyen Cao Ky, that we invade North Vietnam?
I don't think he suggested that we do. I think he said he wanted to.
Do you think we should let him go ahead?
Well, I don't know as we're in a position to let him or to refuse him. We might use some influence on him, but this is a country, a free country.
Do you feel the South Vietnamese government is sufficiently stable to launch an operation against the North today?
Well, I don't know how to answer your question except to say this, that I was impressed by the people whom I met who are in charge of the government there, the prime minister, the foreign minister, other cabinet officers. I've been asked on my way home, do I think this is a stable government? It seems stable to me, because I can't tell too much from the limited conversations that I have. I was impressed by these people. They seemed to me to be well-balanced, sensible, want to do a good job, and run their country well.
Mr. Spivak.
Senator Dodd, a minute ago, in answer to another question, you said this is a real war, and I gather from what you said that you feel we ought to face up to that. Wouldn't the public better understand the situation if Congress exercised its constitutional responsibility and said so, in other words, declared war?
Well, you know, we passed a resolution last August, August 10th, authorizing the president to take such steps as he found necessary to protect this country and to resist aggression. Well, that resolution passed the Congress with only two dissenting votes, passed the House unanimously. It passed the Senate, I think it was 88-2. I don't think you're going to have much clear expression of congressional approval of the course of action that the president is pursuing.
But, Senator, there was a recent report that a majority of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, 11 out of the 19 members, are critical of our policy in Vietnam and favor a deal. Now, if there were a declaration of war, would you have that kind of divisive debate that you're getting now?
No, I don't know if this figure is accurate, unless you tell me that it is.
Well, I don't know. Just a report. It was reported in U.S. News.
I have some doubt about that from what I know of the members, but... you want me to assume that this is so?
Well, on the assumption that, well, there is a lot of debate going on, and some of it quite acrimonious and critical of the president.
Yes, I know there's some acrimonious debate. But this, it doesn't follow, I think, that the majority or anywhere near a majority of the members of that committee or of the Senate or the House opposed to the policy which the president is pursuing. On the contrary, I think that the president has the overwhelming support of the members of Congress, as I believe he does of the people of this country, and as he does of the people of the free world.
Well, would you favor Senator Javits' suggestion, then, that there be a new resolution?
I don't see any need for one. This was a pretty good resolution. It was a very clear one. I brought a copy of it today. I guess you're right on one of these questions, anyway. I thought I might get asked that, but it might be worth just reading it for a second. It isn't long. And it spells out pretty well, I think, just what we're talking about. It says, consonant with the Constitution and the Charter of the United Nations and in accordance with its obligations under the Southeast Asia Collective Defense Treaty, the United States is therefore prepared, as the President determines, to take all necessary steps, including the use of armed force, to assist any member or protocol state requesting assistance in defense of its freedom. It goes on, shall expire when the president shall determine that peace and security in the area has been established. Seems to me, Mr. Spivak, that that's a very adequate resolution.
But, Senator, you yourself have referred to appeasers in the Congress. And
I never said there were any appeasers in the Congress.
Well, I thought in one of your speech of February 23rd, you suggested that there was some appeasers.
No, I don't believe there are any appeasers in Congress. I'm sure I never said that.
Mr. Evans.
Senator, I'd like to ask you as a... I assume you're an expert now on that area. You were out there for a couple of weeks.
That's how you get to be one.
Senator, do you think that China, as you said several months ago, is really the most ruthless and aggressive regime in human history?
Yes, I do.
If that is true, Senator, do you favor, as Senator Goldwater has suggested and some conservative Republicans have suggested, an expansion of this war... if the Chinese give us an excuse to expand it, so that the nuclear installations in China could be knocked out?
Well, let me answer your question in parts. Number one, I don't favor the expansion of the war, of any war. I want to see wars end as quickly as we can end them and stop killing people and get on with the proper business of peace. So that being my basic premise... answer the second part of your question. Therefore, I'm not in favor of bombing China or trying to destroy this installation or that installation. As I understand President Johnson, he's not trying to expand this war. He's been trying to hold it down, trying to bring it to an end. He's offered to sit down at unlimited, unconditional discussions. And I think he's right about it.
But on the growth of Chinese military power, if you're correct, it's the most ruthless and aggressive nation in the history of the world. How dangerous are those nuclear installations to the West?
Well,
in the future,
the future, they'll probably be very dangerous. But you know that while there's time, there's always a chance that something else may take place. As long as the guns aren't speaking, then the men may be speaking, and we may be able to change them in one way or another. Who can say, looking ahead, that this will not, change rather, will not take place tomorrow? Certainly we've got to believe that. That's what we're working for. I'm not one who believes in committing us to a course of bombing this or bombing that. I think it's wrong. That's why I say again, I think the president is right.
Mr. Roberts.
Senator, on that assumption, on the basis of what you said, are you assuming or do you believe that the situation really has changed in the Soviet Union over
yes.
a period of years?
I don't think there's any doubt about it.
And do you accept the theory that a big war with the Soviet Union is probably impossible in today's nuclear balance?
I think it's improbable.
Well, then, we're really faced with the problem of what to do with these brush fire guerrilla wars.
Yes, this is a growing problem.
How do you... Suppose you do settle this thing in Vietnam by negotiation. The tactic, proclaimed tactic of the other side is to fight these wars everywhere in the world. You yourself draw a connection with the one in the Dominican Republic.
Yes.
How are we going to prevent this from happening in Thailand or the Congo?
Well, there's some things I suppose we can do. We can help the people of Thailand to get strong and remain strong so that... their neighbor, the North Vietnamese, say, will not dare attack them, help others to do likewise. We can't be absolutely sure that they won't start it somewhere else. This is going to be a long, hard struggle, as someone else has described it. I'm not one of those who thinks it's going to be all over all of a sudden. I think we're in for a mighty tough time before we get to the end of this road.
Well, does that lead you to be a strong backer of the foreign aid program or even the
yes.
expanded program?
Yes, I've always supported the foreign aid program.
Why is it that the country, as you say, seems to back the president, what he's doing in Vietnam, but seems to be so negative, and your colleagues in Congress so negative on the foreign aid aspect of our
Mr. Roberts, I'm not negative on the foreign aid program.
Why is Congress so negative?
Well, so negative, I think we'll pass a foreign aid bill. I'm very sure we will again this year. It may not be, it won't be as large as it's been in the past because there isn't the need for it. It's easy to jump on foreign aid. It's a subject that lends itself to, as I put it, jumping. Perhaps we haven't explained it well enough to our own people. I think it's one of the best things we've done. I know about its failings, its mistakes and imperfections, but it's right in principle and it's served us well. And it's helped other people, too.
We have about 3 minutes. Mr. Gorowski.
Senator Dodd, dispatches from Santo Domingo today say that U.S. military forces, the Marines, and the Army airborne units are taking forward positions in Santo Domingo, and the Dominican troops loyal to the anti-rebel forces are moving to rear guard positions. As a matter of principle, do you think that United States forces should be sent to any country in Central or South America or the Caribbean that is possibly threatened with a communist takeover?
Possibly threatened. Well, the situation of the Dominican Republic was something more than a possible threat. The threat was an actuality. And I think in that case where American citizens were in danger, I think it is exactly right for the president to send in the Marines and that 82nd Division to protect their lives and to get them out of there.
One other question, then, sir, on that. Do you believe that we have sufficient forces to take care of the various threats that could be started by 57 men in a variety of countries down there?
Well, obviously, we can't do everything everywhere at once. There must be some limitation. I'm sure there is, and I'm sure the president and his advisors will do those things that they feel they must do to preserve our freedom, our security, and to the extent that we can, the freedom and security of our friends around the world.
Do you feel
we can't do everything, and I've never suggested that we try to do everything.
Do you feel we're losing many Latin American friends by our action in the Dominican Republic?
I doubt that. I find that hard to believe. People I know in Latin America, I'm sure, will say that there's nothing else that we could do. What is the alternative? To stand by and have our people slaughtered?
Mr. Spivak.
Senator, I have your speech of February 23rd, and in it you spoke of a new isolationism, and you said its profits include some of my colleagues, and then you said, and collectively they add up to a policy which I can describe as no other than appeasement. Now, what did you have in mind? Whom did you have in mind? You said a minute ago that you didn't refer to appeasement.
Well, a policy that amounts to appeasement is a little different from calling a member of Congress an appeaser. I don't think that's a fine hairline distinction. I think there is a difference. The policy, I think, tends that way, but I really don't think there's anybody in the Congress that I know I would describe as an appeaser.
Mr. Evans.
What do you think, Senator, that Senator Fulbright, Senator Mansfield, and some other senators who feel we should have a stoppage of the bombing are hurting the effort that the president has made?
I certainly don't think they're appeasers. Now, I know them
but do you think this hurts the effort that's going on out there?
No. Senator Mansfield, certainly. I haven't understood what I've heard him say, and I think I've heard it all or read it all. I don't know of anything that he's ever said that I think could be hurting us. Senator Fulbright, I'm sure, hasn't been hurting us. I was out there, and I read where he said that he thought we ought to perhaps suspend the bombing. Well, this is a different of opinion. I don't think that... I don't want to say it hurts us in the sense that it is intended to do so. I'm sure that isn't true.
Senator, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I see that our time is up. Thank you very much, Senator Dodd, for being with us today on Meet the Press.
Thank you, Ned Brooks. In just a moment, we'll tell you how you can get a copy of this week's Meet the Press interview.
The voice of the world, the sound with the beat, the sound that sets you tapping your feet. Radio, the sound of year-round pleasure. The sound of the news, rhythm and blues.
Tchaikovsky, swing, whatever you choose.
Radio, the sound of year-round pleasure.
This is National Family Week, a good time to think about what we are doing to promote happy, healthy family life at home and in our community. We all know how much we depend on happiness at home to help us cope with the demands and pressures of modern life. We know, too, that our families depend on us for cooperation, affection, patience. These are qualities that nourish family life, make it strong. This is a message on behalf of the Family Service Association of America, a member of the United Community Fund. Now, more details on Meet the Press. Today's guest was Senator Thomas J. Dodd, Democrat of Connecticut. The panel consisted of Robert Goralski, NBC News, Chalmers Roberts of the Washington Post, Roland Evans of the New York Herald Tribune, and Lawrence E. Spivak, producer of Meet the Press. For a printed copy of today's Meet the Press interview, send 10 cents in coin and a stamped, self-addressed envelope to Merkel Press, M-E-R-K-L-E, Merkel Press, 809 Channing Street, Northeast, Washington, D.C. Somewhere there's an employer who's looking for the right young man or the right young woman to fill a job. A routine job that most workers do not like. A general office clerk, a messenger, a kitchen helper, or a janitor. Well, if you want someone who's eager to take on such jobs, who will stick with the work and do it the way you want it done, you should consider hiring a mentally retarded worker, one who's been trained in a workshop or a rehabilitation agency. Take advantage of his ability, not his disability, and the fact that he can enjoy a job that others barely tolerate. Why not call the local office of your state's vocational rehabilitation agency for an interview with a mentally retarded worker? For more information, write for the free booklet offered by the President's Committee on Mental Retardation, Washington, D.C. Meet the Press will be heard again next week at the same time, when our guest will be the Foreign Minister of Thailand, Thanat Koman, who is recognized as one of the ablest statesmen in Southeast Asia. This is NBC.